Coming up today on This Is True Really News, we hit the Titter Wayback Machine.
Like with a bat?
No. I mean, we used the Titter Wayback Machine and go way back to 1948. This is weird. It's fascinating and weird.
I think we were around then.
We weren't, but there were people who knew how to write, so I have the story.
Actually, one could argue that they quit writing shortly after that. 1960s, 70s, are there?
Yeah. In any case, if you would please like, subscribe, and follow This Is True Really News. And by the way, the likes are making a difference. I can see it already. And I really appreciate it. Thank you. If you'd like to send us a story or you would like us to take us to task in long form, send it to TITR@netradio.network.
And thank you for your support.
This is True Really News with Scott Combs and Tony Vercanis. All the news you're about to hear is true.
Really?
As far as you know.
A Texas man. That's a man from Texas. He's accused of, why am I doing that? Because when you hear his name, you're going to go, he's from Texas.
Why is it you can do a Southern accent kind of okay, but no other accent in the entire world?
Bite me. A Texas man is accused of trying to sneak on board a flight by taking a photo of another passenger's boarding pass. And the sad news is authorities say the reason he was caught?
Yeah.
Because the flight was full up and they couldn't find a place for him to sit.
Maybe he should have swiped it twice and they never would have caught it.
From George, Texas, weighing in at zero IQ, Wycliffe Eves Fluorizard.
That's a name.
It is. From George, is George, Texas near Austin? Because that sounds like an Austin name. Was arrested after boarding a Delta Airlines plane in Salt Lake City for a flight to Austin, Texas.
For those of you across the pond, Austin is the posh part of Texas, if you catch my drift.
Yeah, it's where all the libs and progressive lives. They give them that little part of Texas, nothing, so they don't ruin the rest. Although they're trying to get into Dallas now, and that's annoying some people I know. Where was I? He was arrested, boarding a Delta flight, Salt Lake City to Austin, according to federal prosecutors in Utah. According to a police office affidavit, they have to file those, in federal district court, Fluorizard. Would you want to do some Googling and find out where the hell that could possibly have come from?
How's it spelled?
F-L-E-U-R.
F-L-E-U-R, that's French.
I-Z-A-R-D.
I pretty much guarantee it's French.
Izard?
F-L-
Then it would be
Fluorizard. E-U-R.
I-Z-A-R-D. A-R-D.
I-Z-A-R-D.
Now, he boarded the plane and opened the door to a storage space for emergency equipment. A flight attendant helped him get to the lavatory in the front of the plane. And as everyone boarded, Fluorizard then moved to a lavatory in the back of the plane. When he exited, which at this point the plane had already started to taxi, he told a flight attendant he was in seat 21F. Except there was already someone in 21F, a girl traveling alone. And the flight attendant confirmed that she was, in fact, a ticketed passenger. Thank you. When the crew searched, they couldn't find his name, nor did they really want to. It didn't pop up on records for the Austin-bound flight or any other Delta flight, for that matter. The plane returned to the gate. Officers were waiting for Mr. Fluorizard. Wycliffe. Fluorizard. Wycliffe Eve.
Fluorizard. The 966,131th most common surname in the world.
Well, I'm sorry I've missed it.
Approximately 269 people bear the surname. It's most prevalent in Haiti. And okay. I'm not wrong.
No, that would have French overtones. Undertones?
Yeah.
Undercurrent? Currently?
Where is the type of name? I'm not sure. Fluorizard? I'm trying to... I saw a thing. Meaning and origin. Here we go. French.
Any majors?
Origin is
Major,
French.
Minor?
Okay, where's the darn meaning? What?
That's the,
they give me an alternate meaning, which is just stupid.
I got the minor infraction, and then I'm stuck. I can't do words.
The origin is unknown. And the alt meaning is F is for fickle. You can change your mind. L is for look, the way you look at life. E is for extra, those little
things. I'm good. Now, put him in jail.
Yeah, send him far, far away.
Have him change his name to like Bill Jones. That'd be better.
That is just strange.
Adrian Monk would just have a bird with that name. He'd have to use a wipe to floss his brain.
Let's step gingerly into the Titter Wayback Machine, shall we?
Never. We're stepping redheadedly?
Yes. This I picked up from Ranker.com. It's the evening of November 30th, 1948, when jeweler John Bain Lyons and his wife strolled along Somerton Beach, a seaside resort a little south of Adelaide, Australia.
Across the street, a man in a trench coat, a fedora pulled over his eyes.
The couple noticed
a cigarette on the building.
The couple noticed a sharply dressed man lying in the sand.
The shadow was drunk.
His head was propped against the seawall, with his legs outstretched and crossed, and he seemed to be trying to light a cigarette drunkenly.
Well, I told you, just put it out.
Half an hour later, another couple spotted the same man. This time, he was motionless. They assumed he was in a drunken stupor, because, after all, they're in Australia. Unbothered by
the... Is that like Australian for he passed out?
It's like Australian for he must be Scottish. He was unbothered by the mosquitoes that were swarming him. By the morning, all signs of life were gone. The well-dressed man on the beach was deceased. He was an ex-well-dressed man on the beach.
See, all those things your mother told you about drinking?
Yep. A medical examiner estimated time of death 2 a.m. The mystery then arose. Who was the man? How did he perish? He had no wallet or ID. His clothes had been stripped of labels. The autopsy revealed an enlarged spleen, a blood-distended liver, and a stomach full of blood as well. All signs of poisoning, but no poison was present in his system.
Wow, we do have a monk mystery.
By January,
somebody call Tony Shalhoub.
By January, the authorities still had no identification for the man, so they widened the search to abandoned luggage in hotels and cloakrooms. A suitcase found abandoned at a train station contained an unusual orange thread that matched the thread used to mend the man's pants. This clue led nowhere. Another expert minutely examined the body and found a tightly rolled paper in the secret pocket inside the man's trousers. It bore the words, "Tamam Shud," which is a Persian phrase meaning "it is ended." The words had been torn from a rare New Zealand edition of the book by Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam, or the Rubaiyat of Omar Khayyam. When the police began to search for the book, one man came forth after many months, having found a book inside the car he had parked at Somerton Beach.
Guess what it was?
The last page was torn, which was the page that bore the words. Telephone number inside led the police to a woman. She had gifted the book to a man named Alfred Boxall. Are you sitting down?
Who's the Philip Marlowe equivalent in Australia? Because we really need him on the case.
Boxall turned out to be alive and still had his copy of the book.
Ow?
When the police went back to the woman and showed her the photograph of the dead man, she didn't know him. Faintly stenciled inside the book were some jumbled letters, like sort of a code. It has never been deciphered. The case remains open. In 2021, he was exhumed so experts could run a DNA check on him, which revealed European ancestry. And that's the rest of the story.
No, they got to figure out who it is. See, I hate these. You know, it's like you read up everything on the Black Dahlia, and at the end, it's like she's still dead. They still don't know who.
Yeah, exactly. But holy crap.
Jack the Ripper.
They get the book, but it's with the page. What are the chances of two copies of the same book having the same page torn out?
I don't know what.
Well, there's a non-zero chance.
Astronomical.
There we go. It's as big as my astronomical. Clearly, I don't know what astronomical means.
Somebody calls you a fat astronomical and then you get all upset.
Hey. My mother gave me this astronomical.
A Swedish landowner won a legal battle. Oh, I got to go to Sweden because this Australian stuff is just too weird.
Okay, fine.
This is just a straight up legal battle to keep a 31-pound meteorite.
Is it a
serious
pet?
I'm guessing a very large paperweight or an oddly shaped bowling ball. When an appeals court ruled that such rocks should be considered immovable property in part of the land where they are found. The property on which the meteorite landed contains iron, and the meteorite is made of iron. So they think it was just coming home.
Is the area magnetized?
Now I'm thinking monster magnets. Remember those? With the,
oh, geez, the those legs? Were fun. Absolutely. We could pick up my friend's wagon.
We played with when we were kids.
Yep, monster magnets.
Yeah. Therefore, it cannot property which meteorite landed contains iron. Meteorites made of iron. Therefore, quoting now, it cannot be easily separated from what is usually regarded as immovable property, said the Svea Court of Appeals. It was November 7th, 2020.
Dum, dum, dum.
An iron meteorite hurtled on from the sky to private property in Uppland, just north of Stockholm.
Iron. That's the noise it makes when it comes.
In December of that year, two geologists, Bill Rogers and Ted Afghanistan, two geologists found it and eventually handed it over to the Swedish Museum of Natural History in the capital of Swedenland, Stockholm.
Swedenland?
Yeah.
I think I like that.
This was North Swedenland.
You don't know them.
Swedish news agency, TT. Really? Oh, I bet they got all the high school Swedish news agencies. The agency, Swedish news agency, said the owner of the private land where it was found.
Johan,
what the hell is this for a name? Johan Benzelstierma von Engeström. We're just going to go with John. Appealed the December of 2022 ruling by the Uppsala District Court.
Uppsala, actually.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, that's how they say it. Uppsala.
I'm not they. American.
Congratulations. I'm Tony Uppsala, McGinnis. He, him.
Uppsala District Court.
Not that they.
That ruling gave the rocks finders Andreas Forsberg and Anders Zetterqvist.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh. They're just after you today.
They have got every sort of version of a Swedish name here. It gave the two the right to the stone because the meteorite was not part of the property and was a movable property without an owner. Jump to last Thursday. The appeals court said no. It's an iron meteorite. It's made up of substances that are already present in the Earth's surface.
That makes no sense.
So Judge
the meteorite.
Robert Bergqvist. Nah, it's just Robert Green. Said that meteorite. How did he get into Sweden? Sir, said that meteorites or space rocks should be considered, quote, part of immovable property just like other stones, even though it may intuitively feel like it is something foreign to the earth.
Did he actually say should be?
Should be. I don't know. That's how it's written. Should be considered, quote, part of immovable property like other stones, even though it may. There's my favorite. Even though it may intuitively feel like it is something foreign to the Earth, maybe because it fell from the damn space place.
Yes. You maroon.
A Swedish law known as
Swedish, you're dumb as we are.
A Swedish law known as Phil may give. It's actually got a name. Almondsrätten? Sure.
Oh, I love that. I get it at the Swedish bakery.
It's a law.
It's very tasty.
Apparently. This law may give everyone the freedom to roam freely in Sweden on the condition that nature and the animals are respected, but not your property, apparently. But it does not give anyone the right to take a meteorite from someone else's land. Now, if it wouldn't have been a meteorite, they probably could have picked it up and gone off. The finders also had claimed that there was an agreement allowing them to take the meteorite. However, the appeals court said there was no evidence of any such deal. It wasn't immediately clear whether or not the geologists want to go to the Swedish Supreme Court. Oh, I hope so.
Do it.
Do it one more time. Just
do it.
And then the
do
world
it till you're satisfied.
And
do
then,
it.
You know, take it to the Justice League. I don't know. keep going. This is just one of the
Justice League
dumbest damn freaking stories. It's a hunk of iron that fell from space. For all we know, it was probably part of, you know, one of the Mercury 7 flights.
Iron spacecrafts fly slower than others, I'm guessing, at least coming off the planet.
I would think.
Yep. Okay. This from Ronnie Tucker.
Hi, Ron E.
Here's a headline.
Is it Ron E. Tucker or Ronnie Tucker?
Ronnie.
So E is not his middle initial.
No.
So he's not an Egbert and Earl and Ephraim.
Enlarged.
I knew I shouldn't have done that.
Engorged.
In my head, I just knew I shouldn't have, but I did anyway.
This is from Ron Engorged Tucker.
Got to learn more self-restraint.
Here's a headline you never expected to see. You ready? Dateline, New Delhi. Adolf Hitler arrested by John F. Kennedy.
Okay, I'll give you that. I would never have expected to see that even written anywhere, except maybe in a drunken stupor.
This happened during the 2008 assembly elections in Meghalaya, piquing interest of people across the country, given the historical significance of the names, of course. It so happened that the NCP candidate, Adolf Hitler, was arrested by Superintendent of Police John F. Kennedy during campaigning for the assembly polls. Headlines quickly became the talk of the town. They would have been viral if social media was as prominent as it is today. So here's, if you didn't know, Adolf Hitler won the elections in the seat he was contesting in Meghalaya.
Who'd he beat? Winston Churchill?
I have no idea.
Hitler. Probably Neville Chamberlain, if I...
Last year, Hitler joined the Trinamool Congress.
The what of who?
Trinamool Congress.
Of course he did.
There's no word on the candidacies of Cleopatra, Genghis Khan, or Eric the Red from the far north.
See, you know your history, because I go back about as far as, you know...
Last Thursday.
It might be a little far.
Breakfast?
I could probably... Yeah, about that.
This is true, really news. Send email to TITR@netradio.network.